Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're looking at a name synonymous with, well, ultimate luxury and craftsmanship, Patek Philippe watches.
Mm-hmm.
Our mission, to get you quickly up to speed on this iconic brand, maybe uncovering some surprising facts along the way. We're working from an article called Five Interesting Things and Facts You Didn't Know About Patek Philippe Watches. Should be good. Okay, let's unpack this.
What's fascinating here is, you know, beyond just the luxury aspect, it's how Patek Philippe hasn't just survived in that high-end market. They've consistently, well, led it for almost 200 years now.
Right.
So for anyone interested in, say, craftsmanship or even just really smart brand building,
yeah,
understanding Patek is key. It's about their philosophy, the choices they made.
Choices that define them. Okay, yeah. Well, speaking of choices, this first fact from the source really jumped out at me, it seems. Incredible, really. Get this. Every minute repeater is personally checked by the president of the company.
Yes, Thierry Stern himself.
Thierry Stern, the president, personally listening to the chime of every single one. I mean, in a global company like that, how is that even feasible? Wouldn't that just grind things to a halt?
You'd think so, wouldn't you? But that's exactly why it's so significant. It's symbolic. Patek Philippe is one of the very last big watchmakers still owned and run by the founding family.
Oh, okay.
So Thierry Stern doing this, it's a direct link to that heritage. He's not just, you know, ticking a box for quality control. He's listening for the specific sound signature, the Patek sound.
The soul of the watch, as you put it earlier.
Precisely. It's a statement. It tells everyone, collectors, their own watchmakers, that the standard is absolute, non-negotiable. So it's less a bottleneck and more a core part of their identity. It signals that uncompromising quality. That's their edge.
Right. It's a strategic decision, not just a quaint tradition. And that kind of dedication, that personal investment, it must feed directly into the cost and the waiting times. Which brings us neatly to fact number two. Even the most basic Patek Philippe watches take over 9 months to manufacture and produce.
Mm.
9 months for a basic one. And complicated ones over 2 years. In today's world of, you know, next day delivery, what on earth takes so long?
Yeah, it's quite something. It really comes down to the Patek Philippe seal. They brought this in back in 2008.
The Patek Philippe seal. What's that exactly? More than just, say, the standard industry checks.
Oh, much more. Think of it as their own super strict internal benchmark. It covers everything. The movement, the case, the dial, everything. The standards for finish, for accuracy, for, well, longevity.
Mm-hmm.
They're way higher than even things like the Geneva seal, which is already tough.
So what does that mean in practice? Lots of hand finishing.
Exactly. Every single component, even tiny screws you'd never see, is finished by hand. Polished, angled, decorated. A single movement might have hundreds of parts. Each one gets assembled, tested, taken apart, refinished, reassembled, regulated. Multiple times. It's incredibly painstaking.
Wow.
So that 9 months or 2 years plus, it isn't inefficiency. It's a deliberate investment in making something that lasts, not just years, but generations. They're building heirlooms.
Building heirlooms. That's a great way to put it. It makes sense then that legacy and history are so important to them,
uh-huh.
Which ties into fact three. Patek Philippe is one of the oldest watch manufacturers in the world, as it was founded in 1839.
Almost two centuries ago.
By Antoine Norbert de Patek and François Zopac. That's a long time. Mm. What did they do early on that really set them apart? Were they innovators right from the start?
Absolutely. Their age is impressive, sure, but it's the continuous innovation that's key. The source points out a couple of massive firsts. By 1851, so pretty early on, they were making keyless watches.
Keyless, meaning
yeah.
You didn't need a separate key to wind it?
Exactly. You could wind and set it just using the crown. Seems standard now, but back then, revolutionary. No more lost keys.
Mm. Okay, yeah. I can see that being a big deal.
Huge. And then, maybe even bigger, in 1868, they created the first Swiss wristwatch ever.
The first one?
The first Swiss one, yes. Again, think about the shift. From a pocket watch you pull out to something right there on your wrist. A completely new way of interacting with time.
So they weren't just following. They were literally creating the future of watches back then.
Right. From the very beginning. And that spirit, that history of pushing boundaries, it underpins everything they do today. It gives them that incredible, almost mythical status.
Okay, so tradition, innovation, insane craftsmanship.
Mm.
And sometimes that leads to truly insane prices.
Mm.
Which brings us to fact four, and this one is a real headline grabber. The most expensive watch ever sold was a Patek Philippe watch.
Mm-hmm. The record holder.
That's quite a statement. When does a watch stop being just a watch and become, well, something else entirely, a different kind of asset?
Yeah.
Tell us about this specific piece.
Okay, here's where it gets really interesting. The watch was the Grandmaster Chime, reference 6300 A010.
Grandmaster Chime. Sounds impressive.
It is. It was created for their 175th anniversary in 2014, but this specific one, the record breaker, was unique. It was made in stainless steel.
Steel, not gold or platinum.
Steel.
Okay.
And that's crucial. It was a one-off piece for the Only Watch charity auction in Geneva in 2019, and it sold for, wait for it, $31.2 million.
31 million. Wow.
Yeah, just staggering. And the work involved, 7 years to develop the movement, over 100,000 hours just to produce and assemble this one watch.
100,000 hours.
Yep. It has 20 complications. Remember, those are functions beyond telling time. Perpetual calendar, minute repeater, moon phases, you name it. It's incredibly complex. Two dials, front and back.
And being the only one in steel added to the value.
Massively. Steel Patek Philippes, especially complicated ones, are often rarer and more sought after by collectors than the precious metal versions. It's a bit counterintuitive, but true. So, your question about art versus asset. This watch is both. A pinnacle of watchmaking art, yes, but also an incredibly rare artifact whose value is driven by that rarity, the brand, the story, and intense collector demand.
Incredible. Absolutely incredible. So you'd imagine with that kind of demand and those prices, they'd want to sell these top-tier watches to anyone who can afford them.
Yeah.
But that leads us to our final, really quite curious fact. Patek Philippe don't just allow anyone to buy a Grand Complication watch.
Right, they're very selective.
Their most complex, most expensive pieces, the Grand Complications aren't just available. You can't just walk in and buy one, even if you have the money. Why? Why would they limit access to their ultimate products?
Well, if we connect this to the bigger picture, it makes a certain kind of strategic sense. It's about protecting the brand and the watches themselves. Patek considers these Grand Complications their pride and joy, the absolute expression of their skill. They aren't just commodities. So they have an application process, essentially. They want to ensure these pieces go to what they call true collectors, people who genuinely appreciate the artistry and the history, not just speculators.
Trying to avoid flippers in the gray market.
Exactly. They want to prevent these masterpieces from being immediately resold at inflated prices through unofficial channels. That can damage the brand's image and, paradoxically, the long-term value perception.
So they vet the buyers.
They do. It maintains that extreme exclusivity, fosters loyalty with their best clients, and reinforces the idea that owning one is a privilege, not just a transaction. It's a form of curated scarcity.
Curated scarcity. I like that. It's about legacy, not just immediate profit.
Precisely. Safeguarding the heritage and ensuring these watches are treasured, not just traded.
What a fascinating look into Patek Philippe. We've covered quite a bit. Five key things that really show what makes them tick, so to speak. That personal check by the president, wow. The 9-month minimum build time, driven by that intense Patek Philippe seal.
Generations of quality.
Their deep roots back to 1839, pioneering things like the wristwatch itself, then the absolutely mind-blowing $31 million watch.
Your Grandmaster Chime, unforgettable.
And finally, this idea of not selling their top watches to just anyone, but curating the collectors.
Chet, well.
It's a unique combination of tradition, relentless quality, innovation, and shrewd business. So what does this all mean? When you put it all together.
This raises an important question for you listening to think about. In a world that's becoming more open, more accessible, Patek Philippe seems to be going the other way, doubling down on control, on exclusivity, on this very personal connection. Does that level of curation, that carefully managed scarcity, actually enhance how we appreciate such incredible artistry for the long term? Or does it perhaps limit that appreciation, keeping these marvels away from a wider audience who could also admire them? It really makes you consider what luxury means today. Is it about widespread admiration, or is it about that deep, almost personal bond between the creator and the, well, the chosen few? Something to mull over.
A very profound thought indeed. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the world of Patek Philippe. We hope you feel better informed, maybe a bit amazed too. Hopefully, it inspires you to look closer at the stories and the artistry behind objects of luxury and craft. Until next time, keep digging deeper.